The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. Welcome to St. Timothy. And today we celebrate the second Sunday after the Epiphany, and that's why we have our star up here, to remember the Epiphany and the wise men coming to, in a way, represent the Gentiles and their inclusion in the salvation of the world. I don't think I have anything beforehand to remind you, but today we'll be going through the service of Matins and hearing the Word of God from 1 Corinthians, which will be quite interesting. So, as we begin, we'll sing our first hymn, found on the first hymn.
Thank you. Christ has appeared to us.
Please be seated. We continue with the psalm this day from Psalm 139, and we speak responsibly, whole verse by whole verse. O Lord, you have searched me and know me.
You know that I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways.
Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together.
You hem me in, behind and before, and lay your hand upon me.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, and I cannot attain it.
Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there.
If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea,
even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me.
Our first reading comes from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3. The young man Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. A lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, Here I am. And ran to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, lie down again. So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here I am, for you called me. Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the young man. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel, at which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from the beginning to end. And I declare to him, and I am about to punish his house forever, for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them. Therefore I swear to the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel was afraid to tell the vision of Eli to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he said, Here am I. And Eli said, What was it that you told me? Do not hide from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you. So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, It is the Lord. Let him do what he seems good to him. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established as a prophet of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And Paul writes to the church in Corinth, All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food. And God will destroy both and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. The Lord for the body. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two will become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand. We speak together. Hallelujah.
You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Hallelujah.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, in the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, I love the habitation of your house and the place where your glory dwells.
We continue with our hymn. Please be seated.
Jesus Christ, your Lord, she is his Lord.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who brings you in and makes you the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm finding that I'm not having too much trouble making conversations with people. I don't know if you have the same problem. And I wonder if I'm becoming a better conversationalist or if perhaps the number of topics for conversation are just overwhelming. There's so much to talk about. It's almost spilling out that it's hard to keep up, keep in touch, or just to have a thought on every topic that's going on. The news seems to come up with something new every day. There's a new cycle and there's something new rolling down the hill. You turn it on and you wonder what catastrophe could be happening today. What new trouble is going to meet me today? And perhaps the worst part is that you might not know what to say to all these different topics. Or you don't know which is the most important, the most relevant, the issue that should be addressed right now. And perhaps you're not even sure how we as Christians should react, how we should respond, or deal with this or that thing that's going on. And so maybe you as Christians are hoping that I might have something to say, that I might speak or address one or multiple of the things going on to give an answer to, well, what is most relevant for us today? Which headline should I focus on? What piece of news should I have my undivided attention? What's relevant for us today that I can get through, well, just the next week, I guess? And I was thinking about those things. Well, I was thinking about them all week. What I can say, what should I say, what hurts need to be addressed. And then upon seeing the readings for today, I couldn't help but wonder, well, these all aren't relevant at all. What could I possibly say about these things to make them relevant to you? How does the call of Samuel, that was kind of this weird judgment on Eli, how does the story about the disciples being called, and for Paul, how does sex have anything to do with so much strife and division that were going on? And so I thought, well, what does the chosen readings have to say that's maybe different? And perhaps we're thinking about this all wrong. And maybe I shouldn't address the headlines. Maybe I shouldn't shoehorn some other text that might be more appropriate to the sermon and what's going on around us. So I decided to dive in and, I guess in a way, in my pious understanding, let God guide the conversation. And then see what he thinks is relevant. And so in my zeal to do the opposite thing, I decided to go to Paul. And Paul is perhaps the most absurdly off-topic to the surrounding circumstances. Because the lesson we read from Paul certainly undermines our expectations among all things we could talk about. For he is talking about sex. Well, sort of. He's not just having sex in mind, but he's addressing a specific concern in the Corinthian church that is going on, and that's what he's writing about. But he does have a lot to say, and more importantly, what it means to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so right now, I'm going to walk us through this text, and it'll take a couple minutes, but hold on, because it's not going to address anything you have been thinking about this last week. That's why I want to ask you to hold on to this, because it will have something to say when we get later in our sermon here. Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. And in our section, he is tackling an issue with a member of the congregation. There's someone in the congregation that is engaging in sexual immorality, and it seems that these Corinthians have taken the freedom of the gospel to mean freedom from conventional ways of living and freedom from the law of God to do what seems right to each person. The concern that Paul is writing to is a specific type of sexual immorality occurring in the congregation. But he takes it to expand on something further, and that's where our section begins. He takes the common phrase, I guess, that's been going around in the church of Corinth, all things are lawful for me. A true phrase that Paul's response to is, but all things are helpful. And again, he repeats the phrase, all things are lawful for me. And then Paul asserts again, but I will be dominated by nothing. I won't let anything enslave me. And it's this line of thinking that he explains and makes real for the church of Corinth the new reality of the gospel message. The body is not meant for such things as sexual immorality, but the body is meant for the Lord and the Lord for the body. He emphasized this by pointing to the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead with his body. And so these Christians in Corinth, they too will also be raised with their body. And so just think about it. Paul is saying, hey, Corinthians, you are what your body is. Your body is not merely a shell for your soul to animate, but your body will be in the resurrection. Yes, the body you are looking at, because your body is who you are. And then Paul points out why this is important to realize. For their bodies are members of Christ. So is it good that members of Christ become a part of the members of one who's sexually immoral? Well, of course not. Because if your body is joined with someone like a prostitute, as Paul puts it, then you're as if a prostitute, because when two are gathered, when two are brought together, they become one flesh. And this is where he might sound confusing for us. Because when he says that when your body is joined to the Lord, you might expect him to say you become one flesh. But instead he says you become one spirit with him. But it shouldn't be terribly confusing. Because all Paul is saying is that your body and your spirit are not so different than you might expect. Essentially saying, Church of Corinth, your true self is not just your spirit, but your true self is your body as well. The people of the Church of Corinth are their bodies and their souls. They both matter. And what may sound as a rebuke to them is quite the opposite for Paul, because he wants to encourage them, flee from sexual immorality, for it's not good for you. It will lead to the destruction of both your body and your soul. It will lead to the destruction of you. So flee from these things, because your body is now a temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body has purpose, because your body is not your own, but was bought for an expensive price, the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So even in your body, glorify Christ. And that's how Paul writes this section to the people of Corinthians. And this is what Paul finds most relevant for the church in Corinth. And you all have so many things going through your head right now. The news cycles, they change by the hour. You're not sure what you ought to be paying attention to, what's important to keep in mind, what matters to me. And now you come here to church, perhaps hoping to hear something that gives you a different answer. Perhaps hearing some relevance to the situation, but all you get is another piece to add to the conversation. And truthfully, you're not sure what is exactly relevant for you. There's not a lot I can do to silence the chatter. And I can't keep up with the fire hose of information. There's no way I can take away the reality that you face. And I'm not sure how I can tell you that what I have to say is more relevant for you. All I can do is give you my word. Well, it's not my word. It's the Lord's word. And one of the biggest complaints of the church, and it's a worthy complaint we get, but the church is slow on the uptake, it seems, and sometimes never seems to respond in a timely manner. And those are fair concerns. But sometimes there's a problem with always being relevant. To be relevant all the time and respond to everyone's concern misses the point of what is actually going on in the bigger picture. God does not need to cater to or make himself relevant to anyone. For God knows exactly what we need. Who knows what is most relevant better than God? So maybe our concerns are misplaced today. And I think it's most obviously misplaced because the news cycles, the issues going on, the division, and even COVID, they're not actually as relevant as we might think. I mean, sure, we all been impacted to some of these things, no doubt. But really, for my money, we don't need to know, learn, or find out how all these growing amounts of information are relevant for me. Why? Because at the end of the day, there is nothing you can really do about it. There's absolutely nothing you can do that will actually change what's going on. And as far as I can tell, the reason I want answers to relevant questions is because I want to know what I can do about it. But you and me waste our time over things that we have zero control over. I know there are lies being spread. I know misinformation being promulgated. I know there are conspiracies that have what certain level of validity. I know that you feel mistreated and maybe even disappointed. But I also know that even in the midst of those troubling things, there are true things being told. The correct information getting out, conspiracies debunked. And even though you feel mistreated or disappointed, I know that you are still being treated and taken care of. I know there's a lot to sort. But with all that banging around in our head, what are you actually going to do about all those headlines? With this upcoming news cycle, what can you actually do about it? I guess you could just go against what others say. You could even oppose it, but then you have to ask yourself, is it really worth it? Are you sure you're accomplishing much, and what could you possibly be risking? Can you be sure that you have all the relevant information, or maybe, just maybe, all your concerns are misplaced? I can't help but be impacted by Paul's words at the beginning. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved, dominated by anything. You see, while Paul is saying something focused on something more personal and intimate and private like sex, Paul is saying that being made right before God goes so much deeper than just being set free from the burden of the law. You are transformed into a different kind of person. One who does not act on passions and desires, nor one who invests time and effort in things outside of your control. For all things are not helpful, and for you as members of the body of Christ, you will not be dominated by anything or anyone. Maybe the constant engagement in this political crisis, three time zones away, or pointing out flawed systems, or promoting the conspiracy is not altogether helpful for us. Maybe these things start dominating our life to the point where it consumes our thoughts, consumes our conversations, and the way we treat our relationships. Maybe talking about this week's headline is not all that relevant for us. God's word directs our attention somewhere else. And it is to be the temple of the Holy Spirit. For God does not need to give us answers and reactions to this headline. For God has that all under his control. Instead, he brings you in as a member of the body of Christ. He makes you relevant to the world. Paul's words are not meant to be a rebuke or an admonishment. Instead, they're supposed to be words of encouragement. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You are a member of the body of Christ. You are God's own. You are God's own with purpose, a good purpose. What harm can be done to your body if you invest time, effort, money, and work into the things God has already given you to take care of? Donald, Mike, Joe, Kamala, if I'm saying that right, they're not going to take care of the people in your lives because that's why you're there. Whatever is right in front of us is far more important and far more relevant than what is going on online. Because the responsibilities before you are in your control. And you can do much more good about them than anyone else. Maybe we should ask ourselves, how is my neighbor doing today? You have families, your friends, you have your church, you have people that you have responsibility for going through a lot of the same frustrations, concerns, and they have the same anxieties that you and I do. Just maybe they need someone truly relevant in their life. Maybe they could use time to share a memory with an old friend. Maybe they could use someone to talk with about what really matters, like family, the Christian life, or to be in prayer with someone. Perhaps in our restricted and our protective guidelines going on, you might be comfortable to take some reasonable risks and surprise your kids with a visit. Or you might see how that one person who's been away from their church family is doing. Who needs your prayers? Who needs the skills you have at your disposal? Maybe someone in your life needs to hear the loving grace of God in Jesus Christ. It needs to be told that they are God's own, that they're forgiven, that they're bought with a price, to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. And just maybe, someone who's been far off for so long is just about ready to hear God's word anew for the first time. I don't know what all your responsibilities and vocations are or what deserves more attention than the other, but I can say they are far more relevant than what the Seattle Times has to say. For you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And you are brought into God's recreating story to live as one of God's creatures, to usher in the new creation reality by living out God's truth in your life, one transformed and made his own in Jesus Christ. Your conversations, your relationships, your responsibilities don't all revolve around the headlines. They don't revolve around the tweets, even the conspiracies and tensions going on in the world. Sure, give them a look, see them so you're not completely lost. But what you have right in front of you needs your undivided attention. You are God's own. And Jesus Christ has made you relevant right where you are. Live out the truth of God in the way you conduct yourselves. Show love even in the smallest areas of your life. It seems to me that God is even concerned about something so small and private as our personal lives. How more relevant can you get? In Christ. Amen. We continue on page 7 of our worship folder. We join together in confessing our common Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. As you're able, please stand.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We continue with our canticle, we praise you and acknowledge you. Oh, please be seated.
Thank you.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer,
and let my cry come to you.
O Lord, you have called us into the fellowship and priesthood of your Son, Jesus Christ. By his incarnation and great work of salvation, heaven is open to us in him. Give us boldness to cling to your faithful call, that your deliverance would not be hidden, but spoken freely in all the world. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Gracious God, preserve your church here and throughout the world. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those you have sent. Make all Christians bold in confession and unwavering in prayer. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Father, you have given us your Holy Spirit, making our bodies your temple and knitting us together into the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. Give us devotion to treasure your gift of holy marriage. Give us appreciation for the gift of singleness. Let the married in honorable devotion take up their responsibilities for faithful marriage, and the unmarried honor the marriage estate and use their gift of freedom toward love and service of their neighbor. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you are the Lord, and you do whatever seems good to you. As every authority on earth comes from you, uphold our nation and our leaders. Preserve the transition of power, and bless with wisdom our President-elect Joseph, our Governor Jay, and all public servants, including our armed forces, police, and first responders. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
O God, behold in mercy all for whom we pray, especially Major, Wayne, Sanda, Pastor Black, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Thurza, Alex, Debbie, Bella, Ava, Esther, Emily, and Wendy. Bring healing, comfort, strength, patience, and certainty to all in need. Receive our thanks for your constant watch and merciful kindness. We also remember those who are unable to participate in our fellowship, especially Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thurza and Jim, and Alex. In every sorrow and in every joy, do not let our eyes be drawn from the greater marvel of your kindness in Jesus Christ, by whose grace and forgiveness alone we receive every blessing. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
Holy Lord, renew the gift of your Holy Spirit, to work in us true confession and abandon us sins, that we might trust your word and your Son for our identity, and following your Son's example, show love and kindness to our neighbor. Merciful God, hear our prayer.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever.
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of our God, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all.
Amen.
We sing our last hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. Please be seated.
Thank you.
page 13 of our bulletin